Share the challenge tonight to read our Bibles through. As we prayed about this theme, the theme for this year, I felt led of the Lord that it was to be back to the basics. And I'm going to go through this rapidly tonight, but I do want to share the challenge. We're going to start tonight with talking about back to the basic disciplines. Now, this word, we don't use it a lot, but the church world used it for centuries. And the word discipline simply means training that directs and molds and corrects and perfects one's moral nature. Christian disciplines are Bible reading and prayer and fasting and meditation. We're going to choose one of those basic disciplines tonight, the reading of the Bible. I want to challenge you to read your Bibles through. I never made note of the fact that last year was the 400th anniversary of the translation of the King James Version. And we didn't put the emphasis on last year, but we are going to this year. Let me share this and challenge. Years ago, I was teaching a polemics class at Bible school. There was 50 or 60 students in there. We were talking about a particular cult that has their holy book. And I shared these horrible inaccuracies in their book, historical inaccuracies. And students were sitting there with the mouth open. They said, well, how can they believe what they believe when it's so evident in their book that there's inaccuracies there? And I said, well, simply this, and I have forgotten the exact statistic, but I said, in this cult, less than 5% of the people have actually read their holy book. And the students were shaking their heads. Oh, that's horrible. They don't even read their own book. And it hit me in a moment. And I said, okay, let's hold it, class. Let's be real honest here. Now, 50 or 60 students, raised in church, most of them, I said, let's be honest here. Stop everything. How many of you have actually read your Bible through? No, not here tonight, but I asked them then. And I believe, if I remember correct, it was 3 or 4 out of a class of 50 or 60 that had read their Bible through. The rest of them had never read their Bible through. Through the years, I've shared that in a challenge, and this is exciting. When I first came here, you may not remember. That's okay. That's fine. But you may not remember, but I shared that challenge. One of our elders, been an elder in this church most of his adult life, now in a nursing home, his son would bring him to church on a Sunday morning. He was sitting in that service. A few weeks later, I visited him in the nursing home. When I walked in, he said, Pastor, I got to tell you something. He said, what you said got a hold of me. He said, I'm reading my Bible through for the first time. And he was in his 90s. And before he passed away, he read his Bible through. Amen. I shared this challenge one time at Sunset Hills Youth Camp, Grant City Youth Camp, and several answered that challenge, but a pastor came to me, had pastored many years. He said, I'm going to be real honest with you. I've never read my Bible through, but I've taken the challenge. He came to me the next year so excited. He said, I did it. I read my Bible through. In fact, I've got a certificate I made up. I want you to sign it that says I read my Bible through. I remember when I first took the challenge, and this is just to encourage our young people. I got a new Bible for Christmas when I was 15 years old, and I had to read different parts. You know, in Sunday school, you read so many chapters, you know, you get this reward. But when I got that new Bible in 1976, I took up the challenge to read my Bible through, and I read it through. Why read the Bible? I'll give you the short answer first. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is what God is speaking. The Bible is the voice of God into your and my life. You see, this isn't just what God spoke back then. This is what God is speaking today. This isn't what God just spoke to those people in antiquity. This is what God is speaking to you and to me. Amen? The Bible is the Word of God. I want to tell you something else. I'm going to say this briefly, but Jesus is God in the flesh. But the Bible is God in written form. What I mean by this, when you read this, God is revealed to your heart. Amen? Think about that. Now, I'm not being mystical here. I'm not saying literally God, but I'm saying this is God in written form. It reveals God to us. Why read the Bible through, all the way through? There's an old saying that says, he that aims at nothing is sure to hit it. If you don't have an aim to read your Bible through, you never will. I promise you. Write it down tonight. I'll sign it. For you depart from this world. But if you don't make a goal to read the Bible through, you never will. You say, what if I don't get completely through? You'll be a lot further through than you've ever been before. Amen? It's a motivating goal. Now, here's a goal, and I could give you a lot of reasons here, but one I want to give you, why I go all the way through, because it exposes you to all of the Word of God. You see, Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in the Bible, in righteousness. You know, there's some parts of the Bible that if you don't set as a goal to read the Bible through, you'll never be exposed to that portion of the Bible. In fact, I've taken a challenge a long time ago that in my ministry, I'm going to try to preach through every portion of the Scripture. But most preachers will even admit that they get stuck on just certain passages and certain parts and never get to all the Word of God. But all Scripture is given. There are parts that we're attracted to. How many knows that? You see, if you don't have a goal to read the Bible through, you'll go to the parts you're attracted to over and over again. And that's okay. But there's other parts. Some of us are attracted to Psalms. We open the Bible, we go to Psalms. Some are attracted to the Gospels. We open the Bible, we go to the Gospels. Another reason, now let's all be honest. I don't know if you want to, you're brave enough to lift a hand and say with me, but there are parts of the Bible that bore us. Look, go ahead, honesty is good for the soul. If you don't believe that, I'm going to just delve right into it to so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so and so begat so-and-so. And if you don't set a goal to read the Bible through, you'll never get to those. Now, I'll tell you something else. There's parts of the Bible that are difficult to understand. I have this on the authority of the Apostle Peter. He said that in his epistle. He said, some of those fellows, and he was speaking of Paul, write things that are hard to be understood. So I want to read the Bible through. Now, let me give you a longer answer, and we're going to do this very quickly. When I started this, the list kept growing. I had to quit. How many has heard those commercials or read them in the magazine advertising a drug? You got depression. And they got this drug. It says this will help you with depression. And you read the fine print, or they read it for you at the end of the advertisement. The side effects, the negative side effects. You have depression, take this medicine. Number one side effect is may cause depression. Right? Have you ever noticed how long that list is of negative side effects? Well, I think for reading the Bible through, I don't think there's any negative side effects, but there's a whole lot of positive side effects. And I don't think you ever get to the end of the list. Let me give you a few of those. Reading your Bible keeps you in Christ. I mean, wants to stay in Christ. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now I know by continuing the word, he meant keep obeying it. But how can you obey something you don't know what it is? So to me, to continue in his word isn't just to live in it, though it is that. It's to stay in his word. Keep reading it. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here's another reason to read your Bible. It'll feed your soul. Just like your body needs food, your lungs, they need oxygen, your soul needs the Word of God. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Bible is food for our souls. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I know the kids in Sunday school, they live that, or they live it. They learn that little song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll do what? Grow. Andrew was really small. He was just in one of the first Sunday school, and we had been out real busy schedule for a long time, and for several nights we hadn't been able to read the Bible to him at night in his devotion. And we were driving along in the van, and all of a sudden from his car seat, he said, "Dad, Mom," he said, "have you noticed I'm getting smaller?" And we said, "No." We looked back here. He was looking at him. He really thought he had. He was looking in the car seats. "If you notice," now this is last year. No, I'm joking. Somewhere. He kept saying, "Don't embarrass me, Dad." So there it is. Real small. And I said, "No, what are you talking about?" He said, "We haven't been reading the Bible at night, and I'm shrinking." Because then they turned that song to say, "Don't read your Bible, pray to it, and you'll." You know, there's a lot of wisdom in that. I'll tell you another reason to read your Bible. It builds your faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, why didn't it say reading here? Well, for the simple reason, most Christians back then did not have a personal copy of Scripture. If they heard the word of God, they had to come to the house of God, the synagogue, later the church, and they had to read the copy they had at church to them. But we could literally say faith cometh by reading. Yes, it's hearing the preaching, but faith cometh by reading and reading the word of God. One of my favorite heroes is Abraham Lincoln. His law partner wrote one of his biographies, and he said Abraham Lincoln had a habit of reading out loud everything he read. That would have been interesting, reading all that lawyer stuff. But he said everything he read out loud. He said his philosophy was if he read it out loud, he got it twice. He got it once with his eyes and once with his ears. Well, I don't know if you want to read out loud or not, but reading the Word of God will build your faith. Reading the Word of God, and I believe this, will keep you from sin. I'm talking about me too, but it keep you from sin. Jesus prayed to the Father and said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true." Sanctified literally means to set apart. I'm telling you, reading the Bible will keep you from sin. One old timer put it this way. He said, "The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible." I can almost promise you, if you are never turning to this book, you're not reading it, you're not looking to it, I can almost promise you as a believer, there's sin in your life. Right? On the other hand, if you'll stay in this book, not just as a ritual, but to hear from God, if you'll stay in this book, it will keep you from sin. How many believes the Word of God will sanctify you? Sanctify you. The Word of God, this is a little different, it will not only keep you from sin, it'll actually cleanse you from sin. I know it's only the blood that cleanses, but the Word of God has a way of pinpointing that thing that causes you to cry out to God for that cleansing of His blood. Wherewithal shall a young person cleanse his or her way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Another thing reading the Word will do, it'll check and correct your thoughts, your motives, and your attitude. How many's ever thought you was doing pretty good, and you got to reading the Word of God, and ouch. How many's ever had the Word of God just get you? It probes, it penetrates. For the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It goes right to the root of our motives. It just opens up our attitudes. The Word of God, we need to read it. It perfects us. It will perfect you and I. Paul told Timothy, "In that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture," already read this part, "is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Why? "That the man of God," or the person of God, "may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Reading the Word will perfect you and I. It'll perfect our way of thinking, our way of feeling, our way of doing. Reading the Word, why do we want to read it? It guides and directs you. A lot of decisions to make from young on up. A lot of places you come to, you don't know what to do and where to go and how to turn. But the Bible says, or the psalmist said of the Bible, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Word of God will guide you. In fact, it's a dangerous thing to make decisions without spending time in the Word and say, "What does the Word say?" You say, "Amen." We're going to have to come to the end of the list, but we could go on. But reading the Word will prevent you from being deceived. How many knows there's a lot of false doctrines out there, false philosophy, false ideal? But Jesus said, he answered and said, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." It's reading the Word that keeps us from being deceived. You know, one of the things you've been told many times, the way that those bank tellers, they can recognize a counterfeit bill, is they've handled the real thing so much that when the counterfeit comes through, it's immediately obvious to them. I'm telling you, if you will handle the real thing, I don't care if he's a preacher that's got 20,000 people shouting as he preaches. If you've handled this Word of God, you know the truth when you hear it. It'll keep you from being deceived. It'll help you know why you believe. Listen, you know, young people, I've used this illustration before, but when I was cold in my soul and I was at public school and they asked me, "Why do you do this? Why do you don't go to movies? Why do you?" And I'd always say, "Well, my church believes, or my parents believe." But it's a different thing when you've been into the Word of God and you're asked, "Why are you doing that or not doing?" And you say, "Because I've been in the Bible and the Bible says." One of the things that made Billy Graham's ministry so impacting was whenever he made a statement, he would always follow it with, "The Bible says," and tell us what the Bible says. I've had young people come to me and say, "Well, pastors, that's just your belief. I don't believe it that way." You know what my response is? You know it by now. That's okay. If you don't believe it like I do, fine. Now, here's the Bible. Now, show me from the Bible what you believe. Not just what you think, not what just what your preference is, but show me from the Bible. The Bible keeps you from being deceived. And there's a deceiver out there. We could go on and on and on. Just a few more here. Reading the Bible reveals your love for God. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." And again, to keep them, you got to know what they are. And to know what they are, you have to be exposed to them. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." Do you think I would be accurate if I said to us tonight, we love God only as much as we love his word? Would that be an accurate statement? Let me tell you something else about the Word of God. It'll bless you. I know that this is written in particular about one portion of the Scripture, but I believe it's applicable to all. Jesus said, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Blessed is he that readeth. As you take the challenge this year, I want you to believe that. Blessed is he that readeth. Not just Revelation, but the whole Revelation. Read the Word. Another thing reading the Bible will do, it'll arm you against the enemy. Paul said, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." What did Jesus use against Satan when Satan tempted him? And every point of temptation, Jesus said, "The Word of God says, the Scripture says." How many knows when you read this book, you are arming yourself in combat against Satan? One more thing. And you can add to the list. To read the Bible through, it'll encourage and give you hope. "For what things soever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience Got to have a determination to endure, but also the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. If you read the book, it'll comfort you. It'll encourage you. It'll strengthen us. Now, just quickly, I want to talk about mechanics. How to read the Bible through. You can do it in 30 minutes a day. That's the average reading speed. 30 minutes a day. Now, that's 7 days a week. Some people opt for a 5 day a week plan, but you can do it in 30 minutes a day. That's not much time, is it? You can do it by reading 3 chapters per day. Now, there's ways to balance that out, because you take Psalm 119, that's about 14 chapters in one. But Psalm 100, that's just really, really short. So the Bible plans try to balance that out, because all chapters are the same length, but 3 chapters a day. But the main thing it'll take is commitment. Committing ourselves to reading the Bible through. I've made this statement. It was a personal thing God shared with me, but I've made it a rule to live by. It's simply this: don't let when you can't keep you from when you can. Don't let when you can't keep you from when you can. Here's how that works. You say you're going to exercise every day. One day you get up to exercise, and I don't know what happens. Whatever. Some disaster happens. Somebody calls. It's snowing outside. You can't do it. Well, since you can't do it that day, it discourages you. And the next day you could do it, but you've already let yourself be discouraged from it. You say, I'm going to read my Bible every day. You get up one morning and somebody's at your door knocking, needing something, and it throws your whole day off, and you never do get to read your Bible that day. Well, the next day, if you let yourself, you'll be discouraged. You say, well, I couldn't do it yesterday. I'm off track. I just might as well give up. No. Don't let when you can't keep you from when you can. You may not get exactly the whole Bible read by this time next year, but you'll be close enough that you can go ahead and finish that. Don't let the days you can't keep you from when you can. Now, let's talk about a plan, first of all. We have these down here, don't we? There are a whole bunch of different plans for reading the Bible. I just want to share 3 with you quickly. The first of all is the canonical plan. Now, that's just a big word that says straight through the Bible. The word canon, that means the authoritative list of the books of the Bible, and from that, the authoritative list is the order they're found in Scripture. So that's what that word canonical means. It means cover to cover, start to finish, Genesis to Revelation. Read the books in the Bible in the order they appear in. And here is a list. It's given by each day. Each day from number 1, I know we're already 2 weeks into the year, but we can finish this time next year, clear up through 365. This is leap year. How many knew that? So we got the whole thing this year. So here it is, right here, canonical. So if you'll look at this, and I'm going to do what I didn't want to do. I'm going to get these confused. When you're up here talking, you can't read as well as when you're not. So here's an example of what you'll see on this list up here, just straight through the Bible, Genesis. Okay. The second way I want to introduce to you is the chronological way. They're down here. Chronologically is to read the portions of scriptures as they happen in relationship to each other in a timeline. How many has ever read a chronological Bible? Okay. Maybe 1 or 2 in the audience. They're really interesting because, well, let me just show you. You know, the Bible books aren't really in exact chronological order. If you'll look here, and I don't know if you can see, I think you can. If you'll look, the first day you read Genesis, second day Genesis, third day Genesis, and the fourth day you're reading in Job. Why? Because Job lived before Abraham did. Okay? So in the chronology, you've got to begin to read Job. Now, it's not a different Bible. It's the same Bible. It's just chronological order. Or if you went over into 2 Samuel here, you'll notice that there are things that are in 2 Samuel that are repeated in 1 Chronicles. So it gives you both of those. Well, what about what's happening in 2 Samuel? Well, that was when David wrote a certain psalm. So instead of waiting till you get to the Psalms to read that psalm, you read it when it actually happened in the chronology of 2 Samuel. Let's take the New Testament. You're reading through the book of Acts. Well, Paul, when he was making those travels in the book of Acts, he wrote an epistle. So a chronological reading, if you're at a certain place where Paul wrote an epistle, say you're at Corinth or another place and he wrote an epistle, you'll stop reading the book of Acts and you'll have a reading of that epistle that he wrote at that point and place and time in the historical record. And so to read the Bible chronologically is an interesting experience because you get everything right in the place that it happened on the timeline. A third way to read the Bible is blendedly. Sister Marna helped us out and made some plans of the Bible. We'll have those available too. But she called it the buffet reading, the buffet style. What that is, it's not chronology, but instead of getting bogged down just in the Old Testament, they will have you reading the same day. You'll read some from the Old Testament, some from the New. And so it just kind of spreads it out between the old and new, and there's variations of this plan. So whatever plan you choose, you may say, well, the simplest way is to open up the book and start at Genesis 1. That's great. But if you want a little bit of different experience, it's still the same Bible, same Word of God, then there's these other, the chronological and the blended. And those three are available on the table tonight. And here in a moment, we can either pass these out or you can come and get them, but they're right here available on the table. Now, just real quickly, if you want to just go to the internet and print the same thing, you don't want to come down here tonight, well, here is the internet. If you can just remember blueletterbible.org. I want to just finish this up with just a few more things to show you. They have mobile phones editions of reading your Bible through. On your mobile phone, if you have the Bible, have this program, it will give you a reminder. Today you're supposed to read this amount. Some of them will even bring up, if in conjunction with your Bible program, it'll bring up the scriptures for that day. And we'll talk a little more about that in a moment. In this particular version, our website, you can choose your version, esordtoday.com. How are you going to read your Bible? Through what medium? Well, if you've got one, you can read a scroll. I don't think very many of us have that. You can read your physical Bible, which is probably recommended for a lot of us. An e-reader. How many has an e-reader? I'm laughing. That's an inside joke about the scroll. One time I was reading the Bible off my phone in church, and my wife says, that doesn't seem near as spiritual as reading. I said, that's fine. Where's your scroll? Because for centuries they didn't have Bibles like we had. They had to unroll the scroll. She didn't think it was funny either. But anyway, read the Bible on your smartphone. Read the Bible on your computer. Here's an example of a website, Bible.com. On the computer, you go to the day, like January the 6th. If you'll click on it, I failed to put that picture in there. But if you'll click on it, it'll literally bring up those scriptures for the day. And you can read them right on your computer. Bible.com. Here's another interesting thing here. This is another website. And you can go to it. You can choose your plan over here. You can choose start to finish, chronological. It'll give you an email telling you what your daily reading is. And you can even track your progress, see how far you're going. It's BibleInAYear.org. One other note, we're just about done, but there are literally one-year Bibles. Does anyone have a one-year Bible? Okay, great. Those are tremendous. They are already divided by the days into the reading. Oh, one other way, you can listen to it. Some folks actually listen to Bible CDs on their way to work. I think it's a great way to get the Word of God. Okay? Does anyone choose that method? You actually listen to it. There's several of you that do. That's tremendous. Let me just mention this. We're not going to go into tonight, but Bible reading is not the same thing as Bible studying. That'll be another time. We want to talk about Bible study. I believe in Bible study. But I also believe from our Bible reading, we'll learn to be involved in Bible memorization. How many knows memorizing Scripture is very important? And there's one other thing I'm just going to briefly introduce to you is Bible praying. I have found this to be a tremendous help to me. Get down on your knees or however your position of prayer and open up a place in the Bible that you're reading and assume a prayerful attitude and literally read that portion of Scripture as if it were a prayer to God. Bible praying. It's just a tremendous, it's been a tremendous experience to me. The last thing I want to bring to you is perhaps we can form commitment groups. It'd be hard to do this as a whole church. Now, as a church, I'm challenging all of us together to read our Bibles through as a church. But you may want to get together, if you're a brother with several brothers, sister with several sisters, young people, you may want to be a commitment group of reading the Bible through. What do you do? You'll say, let's use the same plan. Let's all use the canonical, the straight through the Bible plan, so that we're all reading the same thing every day. And then you say, let's keep the same pace. Okay? Let's keep up together. Let's encourage one another. You see someone, or maybe you see they're on Facebook at 12:01 a.m. and you surprise them by saying, did you read your portion of Scripture today? Okay? Encourage one another. Share insights and experiences. Commitment group. Well, I was reading the book of Acts the other day. God spoke this to my heart. What's He speaking to your heart? Be accountable and check on one another. I'm going to close by two challenges. The first of all, and I have looked for current information on this, and I can't find it. But I believe it was in the early 90s or late 80s. But you know how things are in communist Cuba. Religious activities is really curtailed. And one particular church didn't even have a real preacher per se to pastor them. But they got hungry for God and got a hold of some copies of the Bible, but they had very few of them. So they committed to come to a place together, and they would simply sit there for an hour, 2 hours, and the person that had the copy of the Bible would just start in the Gospels and just read the Bible to them. And as they began to do that, suddenly in the reading of the Bible, time after time, the Spirit of the Lord would come down. They would be reading about Jesus healing someone, and as they read, the Spirit of the Lord would come down and somebody would get healed. It was such a tremendous revival that some of the kinfolk of Castro literally began to show up and got converted and got changed. It was from reading the Bible through. 2 years ago, we lost one of our great elders, Brother Combs, almost 2 years ago. Brother Combs was a Bible reader. If I'm correct, he'd read his Bible through at least 3 times a year. King James Version. In fact, his son was telling me he got him a different version. Sent it to him for Christmas. Several weeks later, called his Brother Combs, said, Have you been reading that new Bible I got you? Brother Combs said, yes. Well, what do you think? Brother Combs says, well, it's a good book, but it ain't the Bible. But he read his Bible. And that's an encouragement to me. Amen. I want to read the Bible through, don't you? Thank you for your patience tonight, but I felt that we really need to accept the challenge to read our Bibles through. We'll live or die by the Word of God. Amen. Could we stand across the building? These are available up here, chronological, canonical, and blended. There may be still some in the back. Amen.